You're listening to heritageradionetwork.org. This is a live recording from the Roger Smith Cookbook Conference.
Hi, this is Sari Kamen from heritageradionetwork.org. I am at the Roger Smith Cookbook Conference today, and here in the studio I have Bruce Craig. He is a food historian, and his latest book, Man Bites Dog, just came out, and it is about hot dogs. So we're going to be talking about hot dogs today. Hi, Bruce.
Hi, how are you?
I'm doing well. How are you?
Full of hot dogs.
Oh, well, that's good to hear, because you are the expert.
Oh, I know a little.
Yeah. Okay, well, I think so. I mean, this is your second book on hot dogs.
It is.
Okay, so tell us about the book.
Now, this is not a cookbook, although I do have recipes in it.
Oh, okay.
Which I vigorously tested once. At the cookbook conference, there are people who test recipes hundreds of times. But yeah. Anyway, but they work. They work okay. But this is about hot dog culture in America. There's a history of hot dogs in it. My first one is mostly about history. This one has a lot of history in it, but it's about my ideas about how hot dogs fit into American culture.
Okay, so what do you think?
I think that they are central to American culture.
All right.
And they have been since the end of the 19th century. And if you think about first language, we have many expressions with hot dogs in them.
Oh, that's true.
And they express ideas about people, like he's a hot dog.
Mm-hmm.
And you can say that several ways. It means he's a show-off, or that's actually a pretty good thing, hot dog.
Uh-huh.
Or hot dog would mean something good.
Like hot dog.
Hot dog. Or hot dog. And
depends
on where you are. Also as a food, it's absolutely the core of public dining.
Mm.
If we're in New York now, and every street corner virtually has a food cart, which is going to have hot dogs on it. Originally, they were all hot dogs. Now they have many other things. But hot dogs are still important there. And if you go to a ball game, where do you go for it?
Hot dogs.
You can eat hot dogs, right?
Yeah.
Any public event. Go out to a picnic. People are grilling hot dogs. I mean, around 4th of July, they sell 2 billion hot dogs.
Wow.
It's unbelievable.
Hot dog.
Yeah, for the manufacturers. And then, but if you go to Coney Island, here we are. Coney Island,
mm-hmm.
Which is at the heart of the origins of hot dogs.
Yeah, like Nathan's.
And before Nathan's.
Uh-huh.
And so at public venues like that, like the boardwalk and such, hot dogs. So they're really important. And also within hot dogs, they express a lot of ideas about how we Americans think about ourselves, the way you eat them, and the way they're sold. There's a lot of American culture, again, American ideas in them.
How do hot dogs inform how we think about ourselves?
Well, think of it this way. We have an idea that Americans are all individual,
uh-huh.
individualists, and we can make it in the world. So a hot dog vendor is an example of somebody who is trying to make it. Many of the vendors here in New York are from other countries, lately Bangladesh, but before that they were Greeks and Italians, Jews before that at the turn of the 20th century, and then around 1900. And so they, by vending these little things, they made it in the world, right?
Hmm.
Moving up. And this is a pattern of immigrants. Immigrants come with nothing, and they work their way up from petty consumption to up into the upper. Their children go to college.
Mm-hmm.
I know hot dog vendors I can tell you about in New Jersey and Chicago and all over the place whose children all went to college, and now they're all professionals and doctors and other things, really.
Yeah.
So you can make it. That's an idea inherent in American culture, popular culture.
Yeah.
You can make it. From Horatio Alger's novels beginning in 1865 right to now. A second idea is community. There's a tension in American culture between individualism and community. We all like to be part of a community, but at the same time, we want to be individuals. So there's this tension of which is more important, how you fit in. Well, the hot dog is a way of integrating people into their community. For example, Chicago, which is Hot Dog Stand Central, there are about 2,500 of them in the city itself, and all around maybe 3,000. And a stand, they're stands, they're not carts, because of city regulations that have gone on for many years. And so going to, if you ask a Chicagoan, what's the best hot dog in Chicago? And they all sell the same hot dog.
Mm-hmm.
And they do it very much the same way. Anybody will tell you, well, OG's, which is down in my neighborhood, that's the best one ever. Why is that? Because that's where I grew up. So that becomes a community center. So hot dogs integrate people into their communities, and people get into arguments. I teach in Chicago, university, and anytime I want to start an argument, I say, what's the best hot dog stand? And all the students start fighting. Seriously.
Yeah.
And it's like that in Detroit, Flint, anywhere where there are stands, it's the one that's there. And so that's really important.
Yeah, so there's a lot of nostalgia and pride wrapped up in that.
Absolutely. You're dead on. A lot of nostalgia wrapped up in that.
Yeah.
Community pride and again, the sense of community. In a larger sense, we have this idea of social leveling, which is not true, but that's the idea we have. And the idea is everybody goes to the baseball game. You're at the baseball game. You're high and low are rubbing elbows, right? The Rockefellers and the ditch digger. Of course, it's not true. That never happened, but that's okay. But that's our idea. And what do we eat? We eat hot dogs.
Yeah.
So we eat the same thing. Therefore, we're all Americans. And we're not fancy French, and we're not any foreigners. We're Americans, and so we eat the same thing. So it's this idea of social leveling, of community, and also of individualism, among many other ideas.
So let's talk about what the hot dog represents today. Because I see that there's a food movement that's happening, and there's this whole push and attention towards local, sustainable, grass-fed. What has the hot dog become, and how has it changed, and how do they relate to each other?
Well, there are several ways this happens. There are upscale hot dogs.
Yeah.
Well, first let me say that hot dogs are industrially produced food. This is the paradox of hot dogs. They're made in factories. I mean, there are some very good ones made by local butchers, right? But those are, and that's a separate category. But most of them, the ones you find in the street, are factory produced. And it's what you put on them that makes them individual.
Mm.
And so there's one movement in hot doggery is to put fancy toppings on hot dogs. All sorts of locally sourced stuff. And this is a movement I think that started in Chicago with a place called Hot Dogs.
Hot dogs.
Yeah, okay. Right. But actually, he's a trained chef, and he's a really good chef. But he decided he wanted to open a Chicago hot dog stand.
Yeah.
Because he's from Chicago, and that's the thing.
Yeah.
And he's a great guy, actually. And this idea spread all over the place, and you have upscale stands, sort of stands, in which you have different kinds of ingredients. And some will be Japanese. There's a Japa dog, in fact, started in Vancouver. There's one in New York now. And there are ones with different kinds of chilies or different kinds of salsas on them, bacon wrapped of all sorts. That's one kind from the industrially produced ones. Another kind is you use different artisanal sausages. Hot dog, for example, and many others now, have sausages made out of duck. There's a foie gras dog. There are ones with venison. And goose. There are all sorts of different sausages, which are artisanal, made by, you know, butcher shops. And that's a second trend, which you're now finding on food carts in other places.
So is that still a hot dog if it's made out of a goose?
Sure. Well, it's the shape, and it's stuffed. It's a stuffed meat.
Okay.
That's all it is, a stuffed product. And that's a second trend, and you're finding upscale food trucks now serving those, the ones that chefs have taken up.
Yeah.
So that's the third. And the third way is to take these upscale sausages, right, and then put all these other fresh, locally sourced ingredients on them.
Okay.
And where you find that mostly is in places that are trendy and have access to locally sourced products. The Northwest, for Pacific Northwest, Portland is full of them. Seattle, places you would expect to have them. And New York has some.
New York does.
And it's spreading around the country.
Yeah. So this is really fascinating because there is such a paradox, and I think a hot dog is a perfect symbolic representation of American nationalistic pride in a food. And so we're talking about this trend right now that's happening where we see hot dogs adopting different cultural accessories.
Right.
So what's going on here? So it's an iconic American food, and we're putting kimchi on it.
Right.
So what does that mean? Are we adopting other people's cultures and their foods, and we're trying to make a hot dog more of an international kind of food, or is the hot dog trend, is the Americana trend spreading to other cultures, and we're reclaiming it? I mean, how does this cycle work?
Well, I think it's the other way around, actually.
Okay.
I think it is that these other cultures are assimilating into America.
Uh-huh.
And so it's Koreans who do put kimchi on hot dogs.
Yeah, for an example, because right. That's a very trendy. You see that a lot.
Oh, absolutely. It began on the West Coast, and there's a place called Oki Dog in L.A., which may have started, and owned by Okinawans, uh-huh. who are Japanese. And the hot dogs aren't great, but it's a really good idea, and everybody's taking this up. And then there's...
Yeah, it is really good.
Oh, there's a famous truck in L.A., Kobe, which is like, whoa, out of sight, and everybody... Yeah. It's quite famous all over.
Mm-hmm.
And that's, so this is a trend. And once one person does it, then everybody's got to do it. Right. So that's how these food trends begin. Or crazes. It may live, it may die out, but it's on. So I think it's other people's assimilating. Then when American chefs get the idea, see this, then they say, oh, well, we're interested in international things because American cuisine has changed a lot since the 1960s. Become far more international,
mm-hmm.
and rather better in many ways. Those chefs who are trained in this way and thinking internationally and have been trained in the culinary schools they go to, they all take courses in international cuisine in these schools. Then they say, oh, that Korean guy's doing that, so I think I'll do it too.
Yeah.
So it starts as an ethnicity adopting to America, and then it reverses itself and the Americans are taking that trend. This is not new.
Okay.
We have hot dogs come in regional styles.
Mm-hmm.
There are a number of them in the United States and even micro regions. New Jersey has 6 separate hot dog styles.
Wow.
Really, North Jersey. I'm not talking about old Jersey. I'm talking about North Jersey. And each one descends from an early ethnic group. So, for example, there's something called a Texas Wiener in New Jersey. There are two versions of them, in fact.
Okay.
And it's a thin sauce that's put on this hot dog.
Uh-huh.
Right? And it was invented by Greeks who came to this area. And this is in the teens and 20s of the century.
So it's a Texas sauce invented by Greeks who came to New Jersey.
Yeah.
Okay.
And they call it, we don't know why they call Texas
okay.
sauce. But I think it's from cowboy movies of the 1920s. And that's what everybody's guess is. Greeks and Macedonians went to Flint, Michigan. And they took the sauce that they put in moussaka. And they put it on hot dogs. And it has a lot of cinnamon in it. And as Greeks, and it's called a coney, because they wanted to name it for something glamorous, like Coney Island.
Uh-huh.
And so the coney is the distinctive hot dog of Detroit, Northeast Michigan. And it's spread over into New York State, where they're called Michigans.
That is same. Wild.
Rhode Island has the same. New York System hot dogs, which are famous in Rhode Island, all have the same kind of sauce on it, all invented by Greeks. And so what they were doing was, and then there's Cincinnati chili, which is very much the same. So these are entrepreneurs who've come to America, and they wanted to give added value to make their hot dogs better than somebody else's. So let's put this sauce that we make at home on it.
Yeah.
Once one person does it, Americans like it, everybody does it, and it becomes a style. So this idea of putting kimchi on a hot dog is nothing new. It goes back to 1900, at least.
So is a hot dog just a vehicle for the sauce?
This is one of my favorite phrases, a platform for culture. I say this all the time, and that's what it is.
It's almost a blank canvas.
It's exactly right. You have it right. That's exactly right.
Have you met any, like, hardcore hot dog purists?
Definitely.
Who think that there should be no other culture infiltration? It should be a hot dog and maybe ketchup, maybe mustard. Maybe.
Well, not ketchup. Never put ketchup
on. So really, really nothing.
Mustard, possibly onions. Now, I know a guy in North Jersey named John Fox. He runs the New Jersey hot dog tours. He's the hot dog guru of New York. He's a postman. And this is his hobby. He lives for this.
Is that a self-imposed title?
Yeah, everybody knows him. He's a really eccentric, great guy. And he knows every single hot dog stand and every nuance of them.
Uh-huh.
I went around with him to the New Jersey hot dog stands. It was an unbelievable adventure. It's like the Odyssey. And really dodging monsters. Really.
Wow. Yeah.
And he's a purist. He likes certain kinds of hot dogs. He knows the flavor profile of each one, what they're like, and he only likes mustard on them. He's
okay.
a purist. And there are other people like this, but he's a prime example around.
But does that come out of, like, having a certain nationalistic pride, or is it just a taste?
In his case, it's taste, and also because he's an expert on it, he mm-hmm. he's a purist. So those two go together. He needs to be pure, but he also likes it.
Yeah.
I've done a lot of hot dog tastings. They're called cuttings, where you compare hot dogs. And because you want to taste the sausage itself.
Yeah.
And so in that case, you don't put anything on it. You just need to taste what it is. Then you can tell what it is, what's in it, and whether it's good or bad. Because there are a lot of bad hot dogs, and there are a lot of really good ones, even industrially produced ones.
Mm-hmm. Wow, this is much more fascinating and culturally provocative than I could have ever imagined. I'm just going to have to read the book.
Yeah.
So we've got Bruce Craig. He is the author of Man Bites Dog. And fortunately, we're talking about hot dogs in this case. So thank you so much, Bruce. This was a really, really interesting conversation.
It's a great pleasure.
I had no idea I was so interested in hot dogs.
Yeah, yeah.
So again, we're at the Roger Smith Cookbook Conference. I'm Sari from HeritageRadioNetwork.org. Thank you so much.
Thanks for listening to this program on HeritageRadioNetwork.org. Connect with us on Facebook, Twitter, Tumblr, iTunes, and Stitcher for more. Visit our website, HeritageRadioNetwork.org, for all of our 30-plus weekly podcasts. Heritage Radio Network is a 501c3 nonprofit organization. To donate and become a member, visit our website today. Thanks for listening.